as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
Welcome to another episode of the Verbal Echo Podcast. Today I have Ian Whitehead. He is a seasoned entrepreneur and coach on a mission to help professionals who aspire to be entrepreneurs transcend their 9-to-5 jobs and build thriving businesses aligned with their deepest values. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you very much for having me.
Ian, I have done a recording before on his podcast called the Naked Coach Collective, and we're gonna recalibrate here and get some more information out to listeners on my side.
Yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed that episode because I think, like me, you've done kind of adventurous from the I mean, even tomorrow I'm going off hiking in the mountains, so yeah.
Oh,
I felt
awesome.
I really enjoyed it. Although I think in that episode, to be honest, I was just sat there, wasn't I, just listening to you talk,
and
I
didn't really ask much. It was so fun. Yeah, I really enjoyed coming on. And yeah, everyone check out the Naked Coach Collective. It's really a unique podcast. And I've had the honor of being in touch with two of you. The other one is Belinda Warburton. And I just did a recording for her, so her episode's coming out soon. Every time we meet, our content just grows and it's just so cool. And so I look forward to keeping up that community and the collaboration with you, Ian. It's been super fun getting to know you. And I'm really excited to share because I wanted to dive into what you do. And it's pretty unique. So tell our listeners where you're from and what your background is, because I think your background's in project management. So you bring a special avenue to that. So yeah, let's dive in.
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Manchester in the UK. Moved down to the Midlands now, but essentially, yeah, I went, oh God, we're going back 10, 12 years ago now. I went traveling the world for a year. So I went into Sweden, Finland, Norway, then over to Iceland, into Canada, into upstate New York, bought a car, and then drove around the whole of the US, and it was just the most unbelievable trip and experience that I've ever had. It was incredible, and it just kind of gave me this thirst for wanting to, a curiosity about everything and how people work and why people want things and all this kind of stuff. And obviously you've done a lot of adventuring out there yourself, Monica, so you kind of get that.
Like, I live here and feeling, I haven't even been to that part of the country. I've been to some of the East Coast and it's really pretty over there. But as far as like upstate New York, I've never been there. So I envy that. And our country is so huge. So
God, it's massive,
and you can just get lost in one of the states and spend a whole month there and just keep exploring. So it's really cool that you were able to do that, and please come back.
Yeah, I absolutely will. It's crazy, right? So, and I'll get to my story in a minute. Sorry, I do love talking about traveling. Tell me to stop if you want me to. But it's crazy. So drive a couple of hours in the UK and you can virtually cross the country. And when we was in America and we were in New York and we were setting off to stay with, so in upstate New York, Poughkeepsie, we were staying with my auntie's friend who had a farm out there. And her parents lived in Maine. It took forever to get there, or what seemed like forever at the time, because that was our first real trip in the car that we did. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous.
I've actually
and
been
then when
to
you look
Maine,
at the map, it's like just this tiny little
corner.
Oh,
I know.
Corner.
It looks so small. Maine is absolutely gorgeous. I have been to Maine. Oh my gosh. And we went up to Bangor and went to the Old Town Canoe Factory. That was really cool.
It's so good over there. And I just had the best time, and it gave me this real thirst for wanting to learn more about anything and everything that I could. And then I eventually ran out of money, as you do. And so I had to go back home. I did have a job lined up in New Zealand, but I couldn't afford the flight from Vancouver to New Zealand. I could only afford the flight home, unfortunately. So I was devastated. But anyway, that's led me to where I am now. So it ended up good overall. I basically got home, took the first job that would have me, started at the very bottom. I was like the dog's body of the office, doing any old job that they wanted me to do. I had no experience because before I went traveling, I was a truck driver. And so I had no experience in an office environment. And so I was just like a little admin job on £13,000 a year, which is $16,000, I think. And then just worked my way up from there. And I kind of fell into helping with projects because our business is centered around telephony. And so we were installing phone systems for big organizations, and I fell into helping projects. And that led me into, I kind of forced them to give me a project management job. So I would go in at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning into the office, and I'd just be sat there studying before people arrived, because I couldn't do it at home because it was too noisy. So I'd just be in the office studying on my own before anybody else got there, and people started to, like my boss and then a couple of directors started to notice what I was doing, and kind of just forced them into giving me a job really as a project manager. I went from essentially £13,000 to quadrupling that within a couple of years, that salary whilst I was there, and became a senior project manager, which I still do now actually, which is a whole other part, which is great. But it got to the point where, yes, I became a project manager. Became senior project manager, and I was working on kind of high profile projects, so some blue light stuff, and by blue light I mean ambulance, police, fire service type projects, where we're installing phone systems for people taking what would be your 911 calls. So we're installing phone systems for them, so there's, you know, if things go wrong, there's literally potentially people's lives on the lines, and it can be quite stressful. And it got to a point where my head was just like a fog of noise. It was so stressful and so much responsibility and pressure, and I'd be working from like 7 a.m. all the way through to like 11 p.m. And there was one point in the winter, it was, so you log on in the morning, you start work, it's dark. You log off in the evening, it's dark, right? And there was one particular day where I just sat back for a moment like that, had a bit of a stretch, looked out the window. It's obviously pitch black. I looked at my clock and it was 11 o'clock at night, and the dog was crying next to me because he wanted to go out for his bedtime wee and then go to bed. And I thought, is this it? Is this really it now? Is this what I'm going to be doing for the rest of my life? Because I was doing that on weekends as well. So it was weekdays and weekends. So it was just so much. And like I say, that fog of noise, the only way I can describe it, it was like my head was buzzing. I'd shut the laptop down at the end of the day and I wouldn't want to talk. I just want to sit in complete silence, which is not fair on my partner at all. And so, yeah, I probably wasn't great to be with, to be honest. But at that moment, I just closed my laptop down and I knew something had to change in that particular moment. And so then the pandemic hit, and a lot of what we were doing, a lot of customers that we had at the time, were just like, sorry, we need to put a halt to everything and just figure this out. And so that gave me a bit of an opportunity to look to maybe do something for myself. I just had so much time back. It was crazy. So I decided to look into setting up my own business. Only issue is I get shiny object syndrome. So I was going, I'm sure you know, when you look to set anything up, you Google it and you just get bombarded with all the ads for everything. And so I was going from one thing to the next, 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 trying all these different things and following all these online gurus. Advice and blueprints to success, as they called it, and nothing ever worked and nothing ever stuck. And I thought, what am I doing wrong? And time passed and I just carried on in the full-time job. And then I came across this, it was just about when I was ready to just say, it's not for me. I'll just carry on with my full-time job, forget it. And I just had an ad for coaching. And I thought, well, let's see what this is. Shiny object again. Let's have a look.
I've been there so many times. I'm sitting here. I was on mute, but I was just sitting here laughing, like shiny object syndrome. So it's just too much information out there and none of it works. It's just, you're just being sucked into someone else's funnel. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
It can get so overwhelming, like you say. And yeah, so I signed up for what is called CoachFlix. It's like a Netflix, but of coaching training. At the time, it was like, I think it was $9 a month. So I thought, well, that's not a big outlay. So let's give it a try. It's with a company called Coaching Masters. Others are available, obviously. but as I started watching the videos, because at the time I thought, coaching, what's coaching? Is that not just some hippie yoga nonsense? that was my first thought. And then I actually read into it watching these training videos, and I was like, wow. Because even as I was just watching training videos, I wasn't having one-on-one coaching at the time. I was just watching these videos and I was having light bulb moments, things that would pop up and I'm like, oh my god, how have I not realized that about myself? And that led me to then get a coach for myself, and they helped me have even more. And I just thought, this is so powerful and it is so good. This is something I have to do. So I worked with my coach and they helped me essentially understand what I want. And as crazy as it sounds, I say it sounds crazy, it does now, but at the time, I'd never really sat there and thought, what do I want? And when I talk to my clients now and I ask them, what do you want? A lot of the time it's just met with silence because they've never been asked that question before. It's so strange that we don't ask that of ourselves. And so, yeah, I then took the accreditation again with the Coaching Masters, and it was really good. And then, yeah, the rest, as they say, is history. So that's my long-winded story. Sorry, that took up quite a bit of time.
No, I love it. And this, actually, let's just segue right into one of my questions is, so when I was looking, doing a little bit of research before we started recording for this, so there's the Coaching Masters app, which is like the coach, you, it's like the Netflix for coaching, and it isn't a very affordable price. And what, how is that different than the accreditation? Because I have a coaching certification also, but mine took close to 2 years. So I'm curious what the difference with that is.
Yeah, sure. So so the coaching masters app is more just for people who are who have joined CoachFlix, and they can just communicate with each other. It's just like a an app like Facebook, as you would call it. But the CoachFlix side of it, where all the training videos are, they're not for accreditation. They're just to kind of give people a taste as to what it is and give you an understanding of what coaching is and what neuro-linguistic programming is and all these other different types of coaching modalities. They give you a flavor of what all of them are. They give you a flavor of how a coaching business looks in terms of its structure and its setup, and they help you with stuff like social media and that kind of thing as well. But the main core of it is what is coaching and that kind of thing. And then you have the accreditation, which you pay for separately, and that does take a longer time. And you essentially, you join weekly calls after you've done some video lessons, and then you go out and practice what you've learned in those video lessons with people who have joined the calls with you. So you kind of do break out into rooms and coach each other, and then the whoever's running the workshop at the time dives in as well and gives pointers. So it's very interactive, and that's how I met B and D and Sarah as well, who host the podcast with us, the Naked Coach Collective. So it was really good. And what I would say is, it wasn't 2 years, that's for sure. It was a 12, it's a 12 week program, and you get an ICF accreditation off the back of it.
That's awesome. Mine was health based, so, and yours is more life based, right? So I just want to make that clarification that there are two, you know, two main avenues with coaching. There's life coaching, and which can encompass so many things, right? Business, goal, you know, it's still, there's still a lot of goal setting and mindsets and all these values based things, strengths based and that sort of thing. And then there's the health route. And with the health route, you do have to have a, well, at least in the US, you have to have a national certification exam through lifestyle medicine background if you want to work in a clinic. And that is because of, really the result of it is because of insurance billing. They, and it just, I think, I can't remember, I could be speaking wrong, but it's, that it's been approved for Medicaid or Medicare, excuse me, Medicare billing, but you have to have that national certification exam. And I'm sure it's probably similar in the UK as far as, because you're, I mean, you're giving, you're holding space for someone with a medical condition. So they just want to make sure that you're following proper, you know, you're not giving advice, you're just guiding someone. But I have tended since, and even with all of that, because even my, you know, my training was in health, I have stepped away from that. And I actually decided not to do the exam because there were some tricky things with that. They wanted you, if you took the exam, to coach only a plant-based diet. That was one of the tenets of it. And I said, you know what, that's not coaching. And that goes against, you know, like, yeah, or is a plant-based diet great, but it's not great for everyone. And why should I force someone to, why should I veer someone toward that if that's not right for them? That just, it went against my values. So I chose not to do the exam. So I have moved more toward life coaching.
Yeah.
So I just, I'm not sure to make that distinction.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the health-based side is in the UK. I'm sure there is rules around it because again, it's health-based. So yeah, but one thing I do know about the coaching industry is it's not really regulated, is it? Anybody can call themselves a coach.
Well, you can. However, if you, I think there's a lot of danger in that. And I'm really hoping for some regulation soon. Yeah. Because yeah, there, and I do make that distinction whenever I talk to people, it's not selling something. You're not, you know, like that's not coaching, right? So Yeah, it there's a huge gray area, and the ICF and other organizations are trying to self-regulate, I think, with as maybe the coaching masters, you know, they're ICF accredited and that sort of thing. So I don't know. Do your research. Do your research. So, but it sounds like this is a really good program. And I know it seems like it is because I've spoken with Belinda and she's got such great value to offer. And I'm sure you do too. And yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no, it is good. And like I say, even just in the Coach Flix area where it is just like introductory videos, even in them, I was having light bulb moments. It wasn't just in the accreditation, which kind of then blew my mind. But even in just those videos, it was, I was really having a lot of insights.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was really good.
And so that, fast forward, you started a business. Mm. And so tell us about your program that you have on your website.
Yes. So I'm in a bit of a transition at the moment. So currently it is the Foundation to Freedom program. And it will be called that after this transition. So the name is staying because I love that name. But essentially it encompasses. So I wanted to help people who were in my shoes. They were unfulfilled, stuck on the hamster wheel, lining someone else's pockets. And they're essentially sick of it and they want out. So I wanted to help people understand what it is they want, try and build a vision, and get a mindset and then create a business so that they could eventually step away from that hamster wheel, that 9-to-5, and create their own business. Like I say, I just wanted to help people who were in my shoes. And as I've been talking, the more and more clients I've had and the more and more conversations I've been having with people, and just from a reflective space of my own that I did, I'm kind of transitioning that into just defining what people want, helping them with a vision and building a dream and a life they would love to live, and helping them with their mindset for that. And the business, helping them set up a business side, is I can obviously help them with that and mentor them with that for if they want to set up a coaching side of it. But I'm really kind of focusing and narrowing down now on to the almost dream building. So I am currently going through a dream building certification as well with Mary Morrissey and her program. I'm not sure if you've come across Mary before, but it's really inspiring is the word I use to describe it, because the more and more conversations I was having, as I was listening to people tell me about what they want and tell me what their vision within like 3 to 5 years looks like for them, or within 10 years, I was just sat there and I was like, wow, this is so inspiring. And it just kind of gave me more energy to carry on. But the bit helping people with the business side of it, kind of, I felt like it was not a drain on me is a strong word to use. It wasn't a drain on me. I was still helping people, but I wasn't enjoying it. It wasn't filling me with inspiration and energy, which is what I kind of thrive on. Whereas the helping people understand what they want, helping them with that gap of, okay, you want this, but how do you get there? And then what kind of mindset do you need to get there? And forget what kind of mindset you need. You're obviously going to come up against obstacles along the way. How can I help you there as well? So I'm really kind of dialed into those aspects. And yeah, it's just so inspiring to be hearing people tell me what their dreams and visions are. And it just really inspires me to keep going and wanting to help people more and more.
So it's dream building. Where did you find out about this course? Or training.
So I'm terrible at social media. I just not a big fan. I'd rather sit and have conversations like this with people. But it is good for helping get you out there, right? So I thought, well, it's a means to an end. And I a Master Your Message, like a 5-day workshop. I'm sure people have come across them. And they help you kind of define what your story is and what message you're putting out there for people. And off the back of that, obviously at the end of these workshops, everyone sells something. They were selling their Dream Builder coaching certification. So I thought, oh, let's have a look at that, because it was kind of aligned with what I loved doing with my current clients. So I thought, well, let's dive into that more and see what else I can learn to help my clients. And so, yeah, that's how I got into it. And the stuff I didn't know about helping people with building their dreams and the visions and everything to kind of really clarify it for them, I was just like, wow. I mean, even just learning this one little bit, just from obviously it was a sales call, they called it a discovery session, as you do. but yeah, even learning just some of that on there, I was like, well, I can really, really take this and help my clients with it even more. So yeah, then I kind of took the course there, and that's another 16-week course which you go on to, and again, it's you jump on live calls and do training and all that kind of stuff. So it's really good.
So you're kind of right in the middle of that right now. So as soon as you're done with that, that's when you're going to transform your offering to be a little bit more aligned with the Dream Builder thing.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, that's right.
That sounds really amazing and powerful. And it's really cool. I think these things come to us when we're ready to find them.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. You speak some about limiting beliefs, that they are not facts. And how does that play into what you do?
So I'll give an example of myself. So as I was saying, I would, when I was doing the full-time job before I got the project management job, as I was saying, I was going in at like 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, and then kind of forcing them to give me a job because I was working so hard. And then after that, I was working 7 a.m. till 11 a.m. but my hours were actually just 9 to 5. And that was a belief that I didn't realize I had until I had some coaching with, it was actually coaching with one of our co-hosts on the podcast, with Dee, Dashana Qureshi. And we were sat there, and I was really struggling at the time. This is when I really had that kind of fog of noise in my head again. At the time, I was going through the accreditation, but it was got really, really busy at work at the time, and it was just like overload. And so she was helping me there, and we got into a conversation. I can't remember what it was. I don't know what she asked me, but at the time, and I just blurted out a saying that my dad used to say to me when because I used to work with my dad. Oh, I don't know if you know what what peat works are. So essentially it's like digging up blocks of peat, and then I'd get the blocks of peat and move it from there to there just to keep it separate so it doesn't like mold together. And that was like when I was, I think it was 7 or 8 years old, I used to do that on the weekends with my dad. And
does
he used
this
to
have
say
to do
to
with
me,
scotch? Because
kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I when you said that, I thought of a bottle of scotch and how I love peaty scotch, the smell of it. So I just, I don't know.
Just to clarify, not that I was drinking it at the time.
but it's agriculture, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. So
as we were doing it, like I say, I was 7 or 8 at the time, and I used to do it on the weekends, and that was like his full-time job. And he said to me, there's a difference between hard work and working hard. And at the time, his definition of hard work was manual labor. And so I didn't realize, but as soon as I'd said that out loud in that conversation with Dee, when she was coaching me, I was like, oh my God, I still say that to people now. I was like, I've been carrying that around with me since I was 7 or 8. And then I sat back for a moment. I just thought about it. And I was like, I say it to myself when I'm sat here at 10 o'clock at night, I say to myself, there's a difference between hard work and working hard. And so sitting behind a desk at the time in my head was not classed as hard work. But it was so mentally exhausting. It's just, it wasn't physically exhausting, but I was so mentally tired at the end of the day, like I said. And it is hard work. But at the time, I didn't realize that. So that was a example of what was an empowering belief initially to get me to where I got to, but then it became a limiting belief because it started to have a real detrimental effect on kind of my health from there. And that's kind of, it's things similar to that which I help my clients with now when it comes to their limiting beliefs. And we try to understand where they initially come from, like just that light bulb moment that I had where it's like, oh my God, my dad told me that when I was a kid. And I'm still saying it now to myself. So I'll try and help them identify where their limiting beliefs come from and then just help them understand why that may have happened, or just tools to help them step out of that limiting belief or turn it into an empowering belief. So there's just, there's little things that we go through throughout the program. There's other things of fear is a big one, which I love the acronym of FEAR, which is false evidence appearing real. I really, really, that kind of sticks in my head whenever I see a client that is literally scared to take the next step. They may be anxious about the result of that or whatever it is. And we just help them realize that it's not actual fact. It's just a belief, and beliefs are not facts. It's just an opinion. Opinions are not facts. Facts are facts. And yeah, it's helping them navigate those fears as well. When they come up, and a lot of the time it can be so simple as to just take a step back, put a pause on it for a minute or two, have a deep breath, three deep breaths, and then just think about what you want to do in that moment. Do you want to not take that step forward and carry on as you are? Or do you want to take that step forward and see who you can be? And a lot of times just that gives people a bit of a nudge in the right direction, and they don't have to take the big step that they might have said that they will do, but they can just take a little step towards it. I'm all about trying to help them take just a little step towards it if they've got, because obviously fear can be a huge thing for people, so we don't want to overwhelm and pressure people. So I'll just try and give them little tools to help them along the way, that they're just constantly taking little steps in the right direction for themselves.
Yeah, that's really important. I have a question about your program, and you have six steps. And I know we talked a little bit about these before we started recording, and you're going to kind of hone in on these after you finish your dream building program.
Yep.
So I was wondering if you could tell us about those steps.
Yeah, sure. So the six steps currently to the Foundation to Freedom program are: define your decade, embrace the mindset. And as I was saying, I was helping people with business. So the next couple of steps are business model selector. And then there is work-life integration, dream, build, launch, and then next level community. So those are the six steps. Now, the define your decade and the embrace the mindset is where I'm, after I've done the transition and done this training, I'll be stepping into kind of full time with those two, and the other elements can take a step back. But just to kind of talk through what we go through. So define your decade. I really want to know people's 10-year plan. What is their goal? And it's a plan because I'm a project manager. I can't help myself. That will never leave me. So I want to know what their 10-year goal is. And then we dig into why they want that goal, because I want to get to the core values behind what they want. And that's kind of one of the things that really restricted me from moving forward when I was trying all these different businesses myself, was I never understood what my core values were. And so we help clients understand what their core values are. And then we help them build a vision that is so powerful. I try to help them build a vision that's so powerful it keeps them up at night. Not to give them a lack of sleep, but just to fuel them with excitement and energy to get up in the morning and get going. And then step two, embrace the mindset, is helping them develop a growth mindset, helping them with those limiting beliefs that we were talking about, helping them essentially unleashing their potential. And that step two kind of is an underlying foundation to all of it. So that never ends, that step two. It's just a constant through all of it, because no matter what step they are in, they're going to come up against obstacles that they need mindset help with. And then step three, business model selector. So that is making sure that they're selecting a business model that is right for them, not something which I was doing, which was, oh, shiny objects, let's try that. Oh, let's try that. Let's try that. It's making sure that the business that they select is aligned with their core values, with what they really want and how that vision looks. So when I help them with this, we get them to really have a clear view of how they want their business to run. They might not even know specifically what they want to do, but helping them just get into, when we do this through meditations, etc., get into visioning what their business looks like, they can then just start rhyming off how they want their business to look. And I'm like, right, okay, now let's look at different types of businesses that can be applied to. And then, because one thing that I found is, as I was doing, I was propping my ladder, so to speak, up against a wall, climbing that wall and going, well, this isn't working. And then propping it up against the next wall. And I want people to prop their ladder up against the right wall from the start, get to the top and love the view rather than hate the view.
I'm going to interject here. That's a really good visual. I identified with that a lot. I think that goes into this overwhelming noise. I think I just want to say it's noise that's in our feed constantly. You know, whether it's, I think it might just be Instagram. I don't know. I'm constantly bombarded. I try not to go on there that much. I just don't see the value in, it doesn't help my business any. It really doesn't. I'm feeling this need for community and connection. And so I'm connecting with people more through this podcast than I am through Instagram. And yeah, I just don't see the value in it. But it brings so much noise into the background that you are bombarded constantly with shiny objects. And I love that you brought up that in part of this propping your ladder next to somebody else's plan. It's not your plan. It's someone else's plan, right?
Yeah.
It's not yours. And so what you're trying to do is dig into who you are. What does your growth look like? And I love that you mentioned visioning and meditation, because that's one of the things that I do. And it's so powerful. The power of meditation.
It's crazy.
It's amazing.
It really is. And I was very skeptical. Like I say, when I first heard of what coaching was, I was like, was that just hippie tree hugging stuff? And then when someone said meditation to me, I kind of had a similar thing. But when you start practicing it, it's just like, wow.
Yeah. I'm a mindfulness and meditation.
It just blows my mind.
I do mindfulness and meditation teaching, and I do meditation every day. Even if it's 3 minutes, I promise you have 3 minutes.
Yep.
I promise.
Yeah.
You have 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Even 3 minutes can, sitting in your car, use the Headspace app or the Calm app or whatever, do a guided meditation. That's the easiest way to get into meditation, is a guided meditation. And you can find a 3 to 5 minute meditation while you're waiting to do something in your car.
Yep.
And it has the ability to change the way your brain connections work. It can bring so much peace and because when you are stressed and on level 10, you do not make good decisions.
Oh, that was me.
So I really am resonating with what you're saying about the visioning and meditation. So sorry to interject, but I just wanted to cheer you on. Yeah.
And then step four would be the work-life integration. So, so I used to get clients come to me, and the ones that did want to start a business were like, well, I just don't have the time. And I proved to them that they're basically, can I swear? I proved to them that they were full of shit. So there are people who have literally no time, but these people are very few and far between. People are just not managing their time correctly. And so I literally get them to break down how much time they spend doing things on a weekly basis. And I ask them as well to over-egg it. So if you think it's 2 hours, let's add on another one just to be on the safe side for a certain thing that you do on a daily basis. And a lot of people end up with the traditional working week's worth of hours left where they're binge watching Netflix and just zoning out and doing nothing, slobbing around. And I'm like, you do have time, you're just not managing it correctly. And if you want, you can still binge watch on Netflix, but spend an hour of that couple of hours in the evening taking a step towards your dream. So there's that, and then I help them kind of set up boundaries as well with the family, because I know when I was first starting out, that door behind me used to be open, and just get disturbed all the time, so I could never get anything done. So it's just about setting up little boundaries like that, and also a lot of people will have a full-time job, and then they're looking to set up a business as well. It's going to be very stressful, and it's going to take up a lot of time. There's going to be time consumed there. So we talk about short-term sacrifice, long-term game, and that kind of thing. And then we step into step five, which is once they've got the idea of the business they want, is then it's the dream, build, launch. And that's when I put my project manager's hat back on, and I essentially help them plan out exactly how they want to launch their business. And then I help them on getting their first couple of clients, whatever it may be. Because a lot of people used to come to me and they'd love the coaching and want to then be coaches themselves. A couple of times I had to say, hang on, are you doing this just because you like the sound of it or like the look of it? Because that's what I used to do. And I can tell you from my story, that's not what you should be doing. You should be looking at what you want and figuring it out. Some people have got successful coaching businesses now as well. And then this final step was making sure that they have, because obviously this program's finite, so it was making sure that they have a community of people supporting them, which to me is so invaluable, having that community of people who understand what you're going through, understand what you're trying to do, because when you can talk to your family about it, they're like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You don't know. Who are you to do that? Which then obviously doesn't help your limiting beliefs. So it's so important to have that community of people. And one saying that I say all the time is, show me your five closest friends and I will show you the rest of your life. And that just hit me like a punch in the stomach when I first heard that. I was like, oh God. So yeah, that's kind of the overall program that's there now. But like I say, I'm going to be taking it down to the first two steps of building the dream, the vision, the purpose, and understanding what all of that is, and then helping with the mindset along the way from going from, I want to live this life, I would love to live this life, but I'm here, how do I get there? And we really kind of dive in on that.
That kind of jumps into my next question. And thanks for sharing that. It seems like a very comprehensive program. And I look forward to hearing more about when you shift it into what's more aligned with, it sounds like from getting feedback from your clients, they have kind of helped you niche it down a little bit. And I think that's part of the process, right? I'm all about growth, and I think that's just part of growth.
Absolutely.
Is focusing on how you can help people the best, right? But I wanted to ask you a question about, because there are a lot of people that are working a regular full-time job, or maybe they're scattered working several part-time jobs or whatever, but you're mm-hmm. already working. And what advice could you give someone who would love to either pare that down so that you're not working as much for the other, you know, you're lining someone else's pockets with your hard work. Mm-hmm. What advice can you give to someone who wants to leave that and transition? Because I think the smart way to do that is a transition process. So I just wanted to touch on that.
Yeah, so for me, the first thing is you have to figure out what you want and what your core values are. That is, like I say, the foundation to freedom. That is the foundation to freedom to me. That is my foundation to freedom. It is, what do I want and why do I want it? Those core values are, why do you want what you say you want? It's understanding that and then figuring out what your purpose is. And to help people do this, I use a process called Ikigai. Is it Japanese philosophy?
Yeah, you know, I've had several of my guests speak about the Ikigai, and I think I posted my first guest. We talked about the Ikigai. She uses it in her business and finds a lot of value in it. And you can, it's IKI, is it GAI?
GAI.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it came from manufacturing. I can't remember exactly. I'm not pulling it up right now, but it's really interesting.
Yeah, it fascinated me when I first read about it. So it's essentially for the listeners, it's what do you love? What are you good at? So what are you skilled up in? What can you get paid for? And what does the kind of market need? Essentially, and then it's like in a Venn diagram, and you answer those questions. But what I do is I help people where we work in the Ikigai is after they've figured out what their values are and all that kind of thing, and then we kind of merge that in with the Ikigai as well to make sure it's even more aligned with what they want to do. So for me, it's all about figuring out what you want, figuring out your core values, which is why you want these things, and then figuring out your purpose, and then having that vision to spur you on. And the second bit of advice I would give people is find people who are where you want to be, almost like a mentor, and learn from them, whether that is through coaching, mentoring, or you just find someone, and make sure you find someone who you resonate with as well. And don't be like me. Don't be the person that goes from one thing to the next to the next, because you waste so much time and so much money. I promise you, it's just a rabbit hole you don't want to go down. So once you've figured out what you want, find someone who is where you want to be. Learn from them. Maybe they've got a short online course that's an introduction to where they are and what they do and how you can apply it. Maybe take that and see whether it aligns with, again, everything that we've already discussed, and then start to take those steps to see whether it is, because it can be scary as well, right? You've got the security of your 9-to-5 or the security of however a couple of part-time jobs that you've got. And to take that leap of faith into doing something on your own, especially when you may never have done that before. I know I hadn't set up my own business before. So it's kind of like a leap of faith. I'm lucky in the fact that I had a 9-to-5 where I had a good wage that was able to support me during that transition period. And I know not a lot of people do have that. So I understand that. But you've still got to take that leap of faith if that's what you want to do.
And so, I just wanted to say something that popped in my head when you were speaking about this. Transitions take work. And I don't mean by, I don't mean busy work, but I mean, it's, if you want a new vision for yourself, you have to figure out physically, how much time do I have to make a transition and how much time am I willing to put into it? And let that kind of be a guide, because transitions do take work. You have to put your ass on the line. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time and motivation and dedication and getting clear on your goals.
Yeah. Short-term sacrifice, long-term gain.
Yes.
It's about, what are you willing to do that 99% of people are not willing to do to get what 99% of people will never get? That's how I kind of see it.
Right.
It is going to be short-term sacrifice. You are going to have to sacrifice Netflix at night. You are going to have to maybe not go out on a Friday night. You know, there is sacrifice there. And like you say, Monica, it is hard work.
It is. And I don't know if I want to give up Netflix, but I mean, I just finished one that was so good, but you can do that. You just can't stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning watching Netflix every night. Like, you can still have the things that bring you joy. You know, maybe
absolutely.
It's
for me, making sure I'm still going out hiking.
Right. Balance, right?
I'm still taking the dog on the walk in the morning. And just, sorry, I know I'm going on here, but one final piece of advice, if I may, is you were talking about understanding how much time in a day you've got. For me, a key part of that is understanding what time of the day you are at your best as well. So I know for me, it's the mornings. That's when I'm most productive, most efficient with my time, and I get the most work done. In the evenings, I just shut down. I'm like, nope.
I'm gonna throw a resource out there. So I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole looking into, I think it's Daniel Pink has a book on time, or there's also you know, the Andrew Huberman podcast. He's very science-based.
Yes.
He has a couple of episodes about optimizing your time, because there are owls, there are larks, there's a lot of research into optimizing what time is best for you to learn, what time is best for you to exercise, what time is best for you to sleep. And they've done a lot of research into it. It's really fascinating. So definitely figure out what time, like you're saying, figure out what time is best for you to do the work that you need to do.
Yeah, so for me, it's getting up at 4:30 in the morning and doing the work. Because in the evenings, I'm just mentally not there to do it. At the time when you're first starting out, I had to be regardless. I'm definitely sure that the output wasn't as good as it was for the times I was doing it in the mornings, right? But I still needed to do it at the time. But then once you pass that point, now I can shut off in the evenings. It's not a problem at all. I can shut off early afternoons if I want to. But I'll always be on early in the morning regardless, because that is my most productive time.
Yeah, such valuable information. And I look forward to hearing more about your new program. And let's have you back on to talk about your rebranding and your new program. I think
that'd
it'll
be
really valuable. Yeah. I'm excited to hear about it and see what you do. Honing down into what you want to offer and how you can best serve others.
I'd love to come back on. Thank you.
Yeah. So do you have any other projects going on or anything you want to talk about as far as, well, how's the podcast? Do you have any more interesting episodes coming up?
Podcast is going well. I think we're still maybe finding our feet with it. So we're still very early, aren't we? But we passed the, have we done 30 episodes now? I think we've done 30. And I heard that 90% don't get past episode 20 or something.
I may have just made that up. I think you're right. I read a statistic. So there are, I don't know how accurate this is now in 2024, but when I first started podcasting, I heard there were 5 million podcasts and 90% of them are inactive or they don't post on a regular basis. So now I have my podcast has surpassed that. And my goal is to hit 50 episodes. I'm getting close. And I'll just keep on going. But I think, yeah, it's really fascinating. I love watching it grow. And you know, what's really fascinating, I'm sure you do too, is looking at where your listeners are on the globe. It's so cool.
So strange. There's people in, I'm like, how on earth did you find out about this?
Yes, I had listeners in like Singapore and Russia. And it's like, wow, this is really cool.
It is, isn't it? It is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Really... Do you say you just passed 50?
Almost. I've got a bunch recorded that I haven't released yet. So I'm getting close. I'm hoping to have 50 by the end of the fall. Yeah. Or like, nice. Let's say before Christmas. And then I chose to do a season model because I need breaks, know, so I'm on season 2 and then I'll wind that up right before the holidays and then take a break over the holidays. Cause I'm ready for a break, you know, and then season 3 will start recording. But, I'm pushing for 100 episodes. I know I'll get there next year for sure.
Absolutely. That's kind of the beauty of our side when on our podcast is there's so many hosts. if someone doesn't want to join, then others can pick it up. So that's why we do it just on a weekly basis without the season side of it, because one of us can have a break whilst the others carry on. So that's the beauty of having multiple hosts, I think. But yeah, we're really enjoying it, and for me, even if we didn't have any listeners, I still would do it because I just love having the conversations that we do. We have a lot of fun. I mean, at the start of, I don't know if you still listen, but at the start of the episodes, we'll have like a 30 seconds to a minute of like outtakes type thing at the start of the episode. It takes so much time for me to figure out what those 30 seconds are going to be because it's like 20 minutes of the stuff. Because right. We just have so much fun as we're recording. It's really good. So I really enjoy it. It's great.
That's super fun. You know, I think you have to love it because it's a lot of work and it's a part-time job. And we were speaking about part-time jobs. It's one part-time free job that I'm not getting paid for that I'm just unwilling to give up. I love it so much. And it goes into community because you spoke about community quite a few times. And I want to highlight that it's really, really important, no matter what you do and what business you're in, what you do, to have community.
Yep. Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. 100%. And community can mean so many different things. It can mean a podcast. It can mean joining a Facebook group. You know, I kind of was downplaying Instagram, and there's definitely a place for that. But I think Facebook has, even though I love it and I hate it, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. It's also necessary for small groups. And I have several small groups that I'm in that have created a sense of community for me. And so, yeah, definitely if you're out there and you are searching for a sense of community, you can find really small groups, 30 to 60 people community, that can support your efforts in business or personal interests that can really bridge the gap of like loneliness and isolation and inspiration and motivation. And community is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I prefer the smaller ones because the larger the group, like particularly on Facebook, the larger the group, the more noise. Because absolutely, there's people that just see all the numbers and go, oh, what can I sell these people?
Right. Or to be trolled and then get on and start talking about some political crap. And it's like, oh, I'm done. Yeah. I just can't.
Yeah. I come here to get away from that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And it's a great way to connect with others and build what you're doing without being super salesy and coming off as a creep. I mean, because you just don't want to do that. Don't
creepy
go there
weirdo
for that.
Trying to sell me something again.
God, don't go on there to do that. Like, there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it, but just don't be creepy. There's Monica's advice for today. Don't be creepy.
Don't be creepy. Don't be that guy.
Be that person. Oh, thank you so much, Ian, for coming on. I'm going to respect your time and wind this up, but thank you so much for coming on, sharing all about your program. And I look forward to hearing more about it as it grows and changes and develops.
No, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it. And I really had a nice time.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to another great episode. Be sure and like, share, or follow this podcast by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. If you know someone who'd like to tell their story, please send them our way. I want to talk to them. No guardrails. Have a great week, friends. See you in the next episode.